Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A number of years ago, there was a TV commercial which showed a little boy driving his little pedal car down the sidewalk. He was wearing his father's hat and doing all the things that he'd seen his father do as he drove his car. And then as the commercial ends, the little boy turns into the sidewalk leading to his house just as his father pulls into the driveway. And father comes over to him and squats down beside him and looks his son right in the eye and says, and his son says very seriously, "It's been a tough day." You're not a parent for very long before you learn that your children imitate you. 6 years ago, we shifted our ministry to be intentionally family-centered because the Bible is clear that our homes are the main training ground for the next generation. And parents are the primary teachers. Our children learn patterns of speech, behavior, and attitude about things in the world in the home. And that places a great responsibility on us as parents. Our little ones will grow to be very much like us. Oh, how sad that sometimes is. But they imitate the good things and also those things that aren't so good. And that's why in this section of Ephesians that we're looking at today, St. Paul begins by urging them and us to look to the greatest Father, saying, "Be imitators of God." I officially became a pastor in 1988. I know for some of you it's such shocking when they think in 1988 the young people are like, oh my gosh. Anyway, but at that time, one of the most influential Christian leaders in family ministry was James Dobson. Now, I'm sure that there are many here who remember him and that he founded a ministry called Focus on the Family. He did that for two main reasons. He believed that the family was established by God as the central building block of society. And since the family is so important in God's plan, it's under attack by both physical and spiritual forces opposed to God. And so his ministry was focused on how do we strengthen the family. You know, it's undeniable that the greatest contributing factor to many, if not most, problems in our society is the brokenness of families. And since the beginning of time, there have been broken families, literally. And I'm not just talking about single-parent families. I'm talking about every family, whether it's a traditional family, a two-parent family, a one-parent family, a blended family. Every family is broken to one degree and another. And the reason is because all families are made up of sinners. So no matter what your family may look like, in his letter to the Ephesians, Paul says that the most essential element for each member of the family is remembering and living out the reality that we are children of the one who loved us so much that he gave his son to make us his own. If you were listening carefully to that reading from Ephesians, you heard some very strong words and warnings, many of which deal with sexual sins. In Paul's day, promiscuity was integrated into everyday life, even many of the religious practices of the day. So in our text, Paul singles out sexual immorality, impurity, as well as covetousness or greed, warning against making these a pattern of life. In fact, he says in verse 5 that those who do this are idolaters, because by worshiping their own desires, they have rejected our Father's will that we love him and others above self. And worshiping anything other than the true God, Paul says, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. All people, Christian or non-Christian, face temptations to immorality, impurity, and greed. And there are times when we fail and fall as that sinful inclination becomes a sinful act. And that's when we need to remember and trust the fact that we have a Father in heaven who loves and forgives. He calls us to repentance so that those attitudes and actions don't harden into a persistent lifestyle. A man was driving down a bumpy country road, and he used to call this road shopping. I've gotten some of my greatest items just because they were laying along the side of the road. And he saw a bag of cement laying on the ground, and he assumed it must have fallen off a truck, and so, not wanting it to go to waste, he's a good steward, he stopped to pick it up. But when he reached down to pick up the bag, he discovered it wasn't that soft and limber bag he'd expected. It had become a single, heavy, solid block of cement. Our life can be like that. It can take on a shape and harden into what it was never intended to be. That bag of cement was meant to become part of some useful structure, but because it didn't reach its place of service, it became a useless rock in the form of a bag of cement. God wants to make something beautiful of your life. And we must not let His purpose be thwarted by the roughness and the potholes in the road of life or choices that destroy our usefulness. And Paul singles out sexual immorality and impurity as things that can destroy the life God has in mind for you in His kingdom. But fortunately, there is no sexual immorality or impurity in society any longer. There isn't. The whole concept of sexual purity is thought of as foolish, and categories of moral right and wrong are considered outmoded. The pressures of living in a society that not only permits but promotes a casual sexual lifestyle is huge. And that's why it's important to know and believe that immoral sexual behavior, in fact, any persistent sin in whatever form it may take, threatens your life with God because it runs counter to His purposes for you. Like that bag of cement, listening to and following the lies of a sinfully oriented culture hardens our lives into something that cannot inherit His kingdom. But it isn't just sexual sins that do this. Paul also included in that verse covetousness, a constant discontent with what we've been given by God and always seeking more. That also is idolatrous. This is a sin that affects every human being, rich or poor. And our society approves and promotes covetousness and greed in many ways. Advertising is designed to make us want what we don't have. But of course, that's not greed. It's just getting ahead or raising our standard of living. But Paul says that this constant need for more, this inability to be content, is simply another form of idolatry. And that's why he tells us to listen to him, to God, and not the voices that surround us when he says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." Now, if we jump down to verse 18, Paul tells us that the strength to fight any temptation, no matter what form it takes, is to be filled with the Spirit. Only the power of God's Spirit can strengthen us against the constant attacks that we face. It's impossible to bring our sexuality, our desire for material goods, and so many other things that aren't in keeping with God's will under control without the Spirit of God. And it's particularly difficult in a culture that scorns almost any form of self-control. Again, that's why we must rely on God's promise to forgive us when we fail, and to constantly seek those things that will give us strength, that will put us in touch with God's Spirit, God's Word, the sacraments, and staying connected with our brothers and sisters in Christ. As we do that, as we, his beloved children, imitate him, we will reveal the light that he has placed in us. We're to remember that we are different than those who have no faith. Paul said, at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And as such, we are to walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Light exposes, it reveals those things that need to be confessed and corrected under God's forgiving love. Confessing our sin and our need for God's forgiveness and strength focuses our attention where it needs to be, off ourselves and our weaknesses and on our God who is strong for us. And that's what Paul is talking about in that next verse when he says that we are to discern, that is, discover what is pleasing to the Lord. What pleases Jesus, the one who gave himself over to death in order to restore us to a living relationship with him, is anything that will build and display that relationship. Anything that will reveal his love and willingness to forgive the sinner, because only the gospel will change lives. Simply being told what to do is never enough. But knowing how much we are loved by God motivates us to seek his strength more and more. You know, it's proven that for any relationship to be strong, there needs to be clear and open communication. Keeping the lines open between us and others with honesty and truth, that builds relationship. And that's not just true in our human relationships, but especially true in our relationship with God. Nothing pleases the Lord more than having clear and open lines of communication with him as we listen to his good news in word and sacrament and respond in prayer and praise. And being plugged in this way keeps us connected to his Spirit, who strengthens us by word and by deed to share his love and mercy with those around us. Now, Paul urges us to be serious about this when he writes, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." At a commencement address to the graduates of Concordia University in Irvine, California, a few years back, Dr. Paul Meyer said that they had a choice ahead of them. They could accept comfortable mediocrity by doing just enough to get by, or they could pursue excellence, doing the best they can and making the best contribution with their lives. I think we face that choice each and every day, whether we're at school or work or home or in the community, whether we're children, husbands and wives, parents and grandparents. St. Paul says that we should strive to make the best use of the time, because we never know how much time we have this side of heaven. Showing our heavenly parentage by living as children of light. And then finally, Paul says that we are to give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we imitate our Father's love and walk in the light of Christ, we'll begin to realize more and more that every good gift truly does come down from above, that he is present and at work, even in the difficult circumstances that are sure to come upon us. And our thank you, spoken and lived, is the only proper response. Sections like this in the Bible are difficult words to hear. They're difficult because they remind us how far short we fall of living as God would have us live. And that can be discouraging. And that's why it's so important to remember that we are forgiven each and every day. But they're also difficult because they remind us that it really is God's desire that we live differently from those who don't know him as Savior and Lord. He wants us to live differently because it's what's truly best for us. Chasing after all the temporary things of this world, which are here one moment and gone the next, will never satisfy. They'll simply leave a constant thirst for more. But being filled with God's Spirit will fill us with peace and hope and joy. As we do that, and we talked about this, I think, throughout this last year, if anybody should be people of hope, it's God's people, right? Through this whole pandemic, people were giving up. What a great opportunity we had, and what a great opportunity we still have to live as people of hope. But when we do, there are many who will ridicule us, think us foolish. But much more important than that, by living according to God's will, you won't have to worry that your own children might imitate you. In fact, you'll want them to. You see, our lives won't just serve as a witness to our families. Our lives also serve as a witness to an unbelieving world for a purpose, so that others might see that there really is a different way to live, a different way to think. People of hope. So that by God's grace, they too can join us in giving praise to God. Amen. Remain seated. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.